So it is very wonderful for me to be here again after some rather long period of absence. Happy to see all the old faces, well-known devotees, and some new faces. It's always very encouraging to see that Krishna consciousness is ever fresh. Nava nava rasa. Ever fresh means it is always generating newer and newer interest in the hearts of the living entities who are actually parched in this material world. We are parched. We are looking throughout life for satisfaction, for joy, for happiness. And yet, like men lost in a desert, their throats, their tongues are parched, thirsty. So that is our condition, very thirsty. And the Krishna consciousness process, which you've all been participating in here so nicely. I was upstairs for a few minutes hearing the beautiful kirtan. This is the process. And this will satisfy that thirst. So it's no wonder that more and more people are coming to taste the nectar of Krishna's holy name. So I want to read from Bhagavad Gita a very appropriate shloka spoken by Lord Krishna in chapter 13. This chapter is called The Nature, Enjoyer and Consciousness. And the verse I've selected is text number 26. I'll just read through the Sanskrit once so you can hear it. Anyatvevam ajananta shrutvanyeva upasate tepi cha titrantyeva mrityam shruti parayana. And now let's learn what this means. Please repeat after me. Anye, others, tu, but, evam, thus, ajanantaha, without spiritual knowledge, shrutva, by hearing, anyebaha, from others, upasate, begin to worship, te, they, api, also, cha, and, atittaranti, transcend, eva, certainly, mrityum, the path of death, shruti parayana, inclined to the process of hearing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society, because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially, according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate, although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers. Faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. Once more, Anye tvevam ajananta shrutvanyeva upasate tepi chati tirantyeva mrityam shruti parayana. Let's repeat this translation. Again, there are those who, although not conversant, in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person, upon hearing about him from others, because of their tendency to hear, from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death.
Mukam karoti bachalam pangam langayate
kirim. Yet kripatataham bande sri gurun dinacharanam. In India, there is a large collection of humorous but instructive stories. There are so many, but I'm speaking of a particular collection. This is called Birbal Badshah. Birbal was a minister who lived about 500 years ago at Delhi, the capital of India. At that time, India was ruled, or much of India was ruled from Delhi by the Mughal dynasty. These were a dynasty of Muslim kings which had come from Persia and conquered a large portion of India. So the king at that time, the Badshah, the great king, was Akbar the Great. And again, his chief minister, was named Birbal. Birbal was a Brahmana and he was a Vaishnava too. So there are so many stories, because Birbal was very intelligent. The king would have questions or some problem would arise, and Birbal would answer the question or solve the problem in a very wise and instructive and often funny manner. And so these stories are there, and they're told not only for entertainment, but for learning. So as I was reading this, one of these stories came to mind. And that is about a Brahmin who lived there in Delhi at that time. And this Brahmin was totally uneducated. Although Brahmin, you may know, is expected to be the teacher of society. In Varna Ashram Dharma, where these four stations or orders, sometimes called castes, Brahmana is to be the teacher. Under him is Kshatriya. He is to be the administrator, or manager of society, government. Then there's Vaishya below that. And that means farmer, protector of the cows, merchant. And then there is Shudra. Shudra means like the legs or feet of society. The servant class, also the artisans, musicians, even poets, these people who entertain others. This is all a kind of service that they do. So this is the Varnashram, the four Varnas. So Brahmana is supposed to be learned. Brahmana is supposed to be able to give knowledge to the others. But this particular Brahmana, he was totally uneducated. He was more or less a fool. And this is a symptom of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, everything's topsy-turvy. So there are people who are known as Brahmana, but they're unable to act as Brahmana. So he was like that. But he had a great desire in his heart that people, all people should address him as Shastriji. Shastriji, if you know this word, or you may know the word Shastra, most of us in or associated with the Hare Krishna movement have heard the word Shastra. Shastra means the scripture, like Bhagavad Gita is Shastra. So one who is Shastriji means one who knows the Shastra very well and can speak on it. So the title Shastriji is a respectful title, that here is a learned man. So this ignorant Brahmana, who couldn't read or write, he wanted everyone to call him Shastriji. That you are a very learned man, you know the Shastras. And of course, there's no way that he could persuade people to address him, Shastriji. So he was always thinking of this, and he was always miserable. And one day, perchance, he met Birbal, the very intelligent minister to King Akbar, Akbar the Great. And so they had a conversation. Birbal said, "I can see, my dear Brahman, that you're not very satisfied. You're not very happy in life. Why is that?" "Because I want people to call me Shastriji. I want to be respected as Shastriji." And Birbal said, "But you are not Shastriji. You are a fool." And Brahman said, "Yes, yes, that's true. I tried. I tried to learn. I tried to hear from pandits. But everything that they spoke went in one ear and immediately out the other. Nothing stayed in my head. So what can I do? I do not have have a brain suitable for learning anything. But still I want that people will call me Shastriji. It is my strongest desire. If I cannot have this, I'll never be happy in this life." So then Birbal thought, "I am minister of this kingdom. It is also my duty to see that the citizens will be happy." So he began to think, "What can I do for him?" And then, because he's very intelligent, in a few seconds, he had a good idea. So he said, "My dear Brahmana, if you want everyone to call you Shastriji, then you must do exactly what I say. I have a plan." So then he told him the plan. And so a bit later, along the main road, the Brahmin who wanted to be Shastriji, he came walking along as per the plan. Next to the road, there were some boys, young boys. They're playing their games, laughing and shouting, as boys will do. And Birbal was there. Birbal came to those boys and said, "Hey boys, you want to have some fun? You see that Brahmin coming? You call him Shastriji. Shout out Shastriji. He hates that. He hates it when people call him Shastriji." So then the boys thought, "Oh, this sounds like a good time." So when the Brahmin came up, the boy said, "Hey Shastriji, Shastriji." And the Brahmin, because he was told to do this by Birbal, he showed very great anger. "Why are you calling me that? Don't call me that." And so louder, "Shastriji, Shastriji." And he was shaking his fist and chasing them. "Go away, go away. Shastriji, Shastriji." Jumping up and down. "Stop, stop." Then other people, adult people, were looking out and seeing the fun. And then they also said, "Hey, Shastriji, Shastriji. Shut up, shut up." And this way it spread through the whole town. So everyone came to know, we can have some fun if we call this Brahmin Shastriji. He'll get angry. So for the next days, He was going everywhere through the town, and people were, "Hey, Shastriji!" And he was shaking his fist and shouting at them. And gradually, everyone became used to calling him Shastriji. And then he no longer had to show any anger. And people were just saying, "Oh, good day, Shastriji." And he was happy. Now, I suppose there are many philosophical lessons that can be drawn from this story. But the reason this story came to mind as I was reading is that Srila Prabhupada was talking about hearing the Vedic sound, particularly hearing the ultimate Vedic sound, which is the holy name of Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, Vadaishcha Sarve Ahameva Vidya, that by all these Vedic mantras or vibrations, the goal is that I am to be known. That is the only goal of all this Shastra, all this knowledge. To know me. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is therefore complete and in itself, this one mantra, like the Kali Santaran Upanishad says, Sarva Vedeshu Drishyati. You can, in this one mantra, Iti Shodashakam Nam Nam, these 16 syllables of this holy name, one can see all the Vedic knowledge. Because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Krishna Himself. It is the sound incarnation of Krishna. So this is the quality of the Vedic sound. That there is no difference, like this another verse, Abhinatvan Nama Nami Noho, which means there is no difference between the name and the object named. The name and the named. They are identical. You see? Now, in this story of the so-called Shastriji, it's obvious that there is a difference. Everyone was calling him Shastriji, but he was actually a fool. You see? Now, this is the state of affairs in the material world. Not just with that particular sound related to that particular person, but with everything. You see, we have, everything has a name. We have this language that we speak, whatever it may be. But all languages have this common ground, that they are vibrations that refer to objects. You see? But in fact, these vibrations, these names, these sounds, these words are different from the objects named. Just as the name Shastriji was certainly different from that foolish Brahmana. He was not a real Shastriji. But in fact, everything is like that. You see, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada gave once the example of that famous, all over the world, famous soft drink, Coca-Cola. You see, this is a famous name. We see it everywhere, even in India now. You go to India and there's big billboards and they have the filmy stars like Aishwarya Rai, Shah Rukh Khan, Amitabh Bachchan, these famous Bollywood stars. And they're holding the bottle of Coca-Cola or Pepsi. Both of them are there. They're holding it up and so everyone knows Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola. So Prabhupada gave this example that this name, Coca-Cola, is different from the object that it is naming, from that cold brown liquid in the bottle. It's not the same. Because if it were the same, there would be no need for anyone to buy a Coke. You just say Coca-Cola, and immediately it would be on your tongue. Immediately your thirst would be quenched. You see, if there was no difference. But in this material world, there is a difference. You see, these words, these names, are simply what's called in Sanskrit, upadhi. Upadhi means designation. It is a designation. But it is not the thing itself. And to take this further, even the body that we have, this so-called identity, that is also a designation. That is not the same as the person, as the living entity. We say in our common language, my body. We don't say I body, it's my body. And the name that we have is appended to this body. You see, when someone calls your name, what do they really refer to? They're referring to the body. You see, therefore, there are men's names, there are women's names. These apply to the type of body that you have. So the name, and even the thing named, that's all different from what we really are. From our actual identity. And that actual identity is spiritual. And now you can see, if you understand this, you can see the total picture. That we are spiritual. And actually reality is spiritual. And Maya or illusion is the material covering that hides the spiritual reality. And all these material names, material words, material languages, they're all part and parcel of that covering only. So here we are in this material world, in our material consciousness, and we're talking back and forth, you know, so supposedly informing one another about what's going on, and we're listening to radio, reading newspaper, watching television, supposedly getting information, getting the news, getting the facts, getting the truth. But it is not the truth. It is not the news. It is not the facts. It's all Maya. Because it does not touch upon the actual reality, which is spiritual. You see, this is how the material language works. It simply operates on this gross, physical or subtle mental at best, subtle mental platform. But neither the body nor the mind is me. I am soul. So you see, Vedic language is different. Vedic language is not about this material covering. Vedic language, although of course it can be spoken by us. Because as Prabhupada explained so many, many times, matter grows out or develops out of spirit. You see? So, matter and spirit, there is a connection. Since spirit is the origin, spirit is the original. So there is a connection. So therefore, Vedic sound, it can be spoken by us. You see, but it does not apply to this temporary world of names and forms, which is like a kaleidoscope, are just swirling on and on and on, ever changing, so that everything becomes meaningless. You see? Isn't it amazing? You see, just imagine, here in the city of Antwerp, you see, 50 years ago, let's say, 50 years ago, what were the people talking about? What were they all concerned about? Actually, I don't know. I don't have any idea. I don't know if anyone here does. But I'm just giving an example. If you can think of what it was like 50 years ago, but if you could hear the people on the street or in the pubs, wherever they would be, and what they would be talking about. You see, they would be naming names of, I don't know, the king of that time, or whatever important people, maybe some Hollywood stars. You see, have you seen the latest movie with Humphrey Bogart? What a great movie. Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. The Big Sleep. Oh, what a fantastic movie. And they'd be talking all these kind of things that would be on the front page of newspaper, you see. And for them, that was reality. That was so important. And nothing more important than these subjects they're talking about. Now, if somehow all that talk could be piped into this room right now, we would all sit here and go, what is that? That's all gobbledygook, nonsense. It has nothing to do with reality. What are they saying? You see? This is the nature of material sound. You see, it is not absolute. Absolute means timeless. But material sound is not like that. It is time-bound. Time-bound, therefore relative. It relates to a particular time, place, circumstance. And that time, place, circumstance is always changing. Always changing. And yet when we speak, when people speak, they're thinking, you know, what I'm saying, this is the truth. This is real. You have to hear what I'm saying. You'll really learn something if you listen to me now. This is so important. This is the facts. This is, the, you know, they're so convinced. But the words they're saying, what is it? It's like smoke that comes out of their mouth and just is blown away into nothing. You see? So very quickly loses all meaning, all relevance. So if we hear it 50 years later, we just have to kind of smile. Oh. It has no... You see, sometimes I like to think like that. What would happen if now, in the year 2002, someone turned on the radio and somehow there was a time warp and they started hearing everything on the radio, every station was 50 years ago. And they would be like, what's going on here? What's this strange music? And what's this they're talking about on the news? This is crazy what they're saying. What is this? It would be very alarming for people. Because it has no connection with what's going on here and now. People would become very disturbed. What is it? A joke? You see? And yet in the very moment, everyone is convinced that, oh, this is reality. This is it. This is the truth. See? So this is the nature of material sound. It's actually, as Krishna says in Gita, anything material, it's actually asat. It's unreal. It really has no reality. You see? Because what is real is that which lasts, that which is eternal. And nothing material is eternal. But we are eternal as spirit soul. So, today's verse is saying that, in purport, that there are people who are ajananta. Ajananta means without knowledge. Particularly in this modern age, Kali Yuga. People are... not very brainy. The average people today are very much absorbed in their senses. Not very inclined to think. Thinking is hard work, you see. Thinking gives a headache. People would rather not have to think. Rather just, you know, turn on the television and sit there with glassy eyes and just have all this, you know, nonsense fed into your brain. That becomes your thinking, you see. Just what's on the TV. You know? Let the machine think for me and I'll just watch it. So I have to think for myself, it's too hard, it's too hard. This is unfortunately the way people are today. So what Prabhupada is saying in the purport, that it's rather an absurd joke, the attempts at philosophy in the modern age. You see, a few people try to think, but their thoughts are very cloudy, murky, difficult for anyone else to follow. They may write big, big books, but who knows what they mean. I once read about a teacher of philosophy today. And he was looking at the original manuscripts of that German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who wrote very thick kind of prose that very hard for anyone to understand. So this philosopher of today, he wanted to write something. He wanted to present something to the world about Nietzsche, you know, about what Nietzsche wrote in his books. And he was looking and he was finding it very hard to understand anything. He was looking in the original books of Nietzsche's own hand. Then he saw in the margin, you know, off to the side, Nietzsche had made a little note that in German, Ich habe mein Regenschirm vergessen, which means I forgot my umbrella. So about that, this philosopher of today. His name is Derrida in Paris. He wrote a big book about this little note where Nietzsche says, I forgot my umbrella. That he could understand. So this is philosophy today. Anyway, so people are not very brainy, not very thoughtful. But still, if they simply hear this Vedic sound, the sound which does not pertain to the illusory, ever-changing names and forms of this world, but that sound which goes to the heart of the matter, which pierces through matter and comes to the eternal reality of pure spirit, then, as Lord Krishna says, if they tune into that sound vibration, then they begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from authorities. And because of this tendency to hear, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Mrityam Shruti Parayana. In other words, they can attain transcendence. And again, the best sound vibration, Vedic sound vibration, spiritual sound, the best of all mantras, the best of all spiritual sounds, is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. And the meaning, the import of that spiritual sound is expanded upon in scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are available to us, the Hare Krishna Mantra and these scriptures that explain the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They are available to everyone today by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who is the foremost authority on spiritual knowledge. There is a Purana, like the Srimad Bhagavatam. But there are 18 Puranas. Purana means a book of history. Out of 18 Puranas, there's one Purana called Bhavishya Purana. This is a Purana also about the future. It was written 5,000 years ago. But it also gives a look into the future. So in this Purana, there are some verses which reveal something very interesting. Something very wonderful will happen in the age of Kali. So there, the Bhavishya Purana says, Hare Krishna. Iti shutvam tu vachanam jagannato svayam hari uvacha vachana ramyam loka mangala hetave. This Purana says that once, long time ago, Lord Jagannath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath, who stays at Jagannath Puri in his deity form. You all know Lord Jagannath because you're having Jagannath Rath Yatra here. So at one time, long time ago, that Lord Jagannath, he appeared in the form of a Brahmana. And as a Brahmana, he spoke instructions for the benefit of the whole world. So what did he say? What did Lord Brahmana, Lord Jagannath in the form of Brahmana, what did he say? He said that Mishra Desho Bha Mlecha Kasyaitmanava Shashita Samskritta Shudra Varnina Brahma Varnam Opagata. He said that in the Kali Yuga, in the Mishra Desha means the mixed up countries, the countries where Varnashram Dharma is not followed, so therefore the population is all mixed up. You see, anybody marries anybody, or they may not even marry, they just combine together, men and women, and produce children. This is what's meant by Mishra, all everything mixed up. In India, this is called love marriage. In West, that's called normal. But in India, it's still something remarkable, you see. That boy and girl will just see each other across some nightclub dance floor and fall in love. And then get married and have children. And then soon get divorced. And the children are left crying. You see, Mishra, mixed up. So the Bhavishya Purana says, Lord Jagannath said that Mishra Deshobha, in the Mishra Desha, that means the Western countries like Belgium, Europe, America, all these countries where Varnashram is not observed, where the people are Mlecha, Mishra Deshobha, Mlecha. Mlecha means most fallen people, without culture. They do not have culture. Barbarian people. But they are also Kasyapanaiva Shashita. Oh, even the Mlecha people, they're all descended from Kasyapa Muni, who is a Prajapati mentioned in the Vedas. He populated this earth. So even the Mlechas, they have a distant connection to a great sage. So Mishra Deshobha Mlecha Kasyapanaiva Shashita. Samskrita Shudra Varnina. These, they will come, Lord Jagannath is saying, when these Mlechas, who are at best Shudras, means the lowest order of Varnashram culture, Samskrita Shudra Varnina Brahma Varnam Opagata. They will become qualified Brahmins. They will take up the Samskrita, the culture of Vedic knowledge. And their varna will change from Shudra to Brahman. And then, Lord Jagannath, speaking in the form of a Brahman, he goes on to describe the symptoms of these Brahmins of Western countries in the future. But that future is now. But anyway, when this was spoken, that was the future. And he says, specifically, Shika, they will have Shika. Sutram, they will have thread. Sikka Shutra Samarya Patitva Vedamamuttamam. And they will study the highest, the best of Vedic Shastras. What is the best Vedic Shastra? That is Srimad Bhagavatam. So they will study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And yagyash, they will perform yagya. Yagyashcha, pujama, they will do puja, they will do worship to the deity. Yagyashcha, pujama, su dreya deva sachipatim. They will do yagya, they will do puja in the worship of myself, because Jagannath, Lord Jagannath is the speaker. So he means they will be worshipping me. And in addition to worshipping Lord Jagannath, he has said, Sachipati. They will worship the Lord of Sachidevi. Sachidevi is the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And her Lord is her son, Lord Chaitanya. So he has mentioned, this is a very, very, as I said, ancient verse from thousands of years ago. And it specifically indicates the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not only in India, beyond India, in the Western countries. These verses anticipate that Western people will give up their Mlechic culture, take up Brahminical culture, have shaved heads, have sikas, have Brahmin threads. They will be doing yagya. Again, what does that yagya? What would be that yagya? It would be the Sankirtan yagya. That is the appropriate yagya for worshipping, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is indicated. The Sankirtan, the worship, all of that is indicated. So, this wonderful revolution, which was predicted in the Vedic scriptures, as we just heard from in these verses, thousands of years ago, it is taking place now. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, 500 years ago, he made a prediction. And that prediction is Prithiviti Achiyari Nagarari Gram Sarvatra Prachara hoibe mora nam, that the day will come that in every town and village of the prithivi, prithivi means the world, every town and village all around this globe, we will be able to hear the preaching of Lord Chaitanya's holy name. We'll be able to hear the sweet sounds of Sankirtan. Chanting Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Mishvadeshodba Mlecha Kasyapanaiva Shashita. These are the mixed up countries. This is where, this is the countries that. But also we should say, now India is becoming like that too. Also, Bhavishya Purana says in Kali Yuga, even India will become filled up with mleches. Everyone is mleche, everywhere. It's clearly prophesied. So everywhere is Mishradesh, mixed up. So such people, they're not qualified. What are they? They're not qualified to understand philosophy. They're not unqualified for deep and heavy brain work. You see? But, as this verse is saying, simply by the process of hearing from authority, that means hearing in the parampara, the disciplic succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they too, mrityu, shruti, parayana, by the hearing process, they can also transcend birth and death. They can become qualified as brahmanas. They can perform the yajna, the sacrifice of this age, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare. And they can go back home, back to Godhead. So this is all by the power of the Vedic sound, by this simple process, which you are doing here. So please keep doing it. Don't give it up. Keep doing it. And by the mercy of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and all the authorized Vedic sounds, spiritual sounds associated with the Hare Krishna Mantra, which tell us about the chanting, tell us about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, tell us how we should live our lives, reveal this vibration that reveals the whole culture of Krishna consciousness. The Vani, it's called. The Vani, the sound incarnation of Guru. Oh, by the mercy of this spiritual sound vibration, let us all become perfect in this short human life, in this dark age of Kali Yuga. And yes, let us become perfect and let us assist in the broadcasting of this sound to others so that they may too have the opportunity of this perfection by the grace of Mahaprabhu. This perfection which is described in today's verse, Anyet Feva Majanata Shrutvanyedu Pasate Te Pichati Turantyeva Mrityam Shruti Parayana. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others because of their tendency to hear from authorities. They also transcend the path of birth and death. Yes. So Krishna and His holy name are not different. And anyone can have direct association with Krishna. Anyone. No matter if we're fallen, sinful, so low, so unqualified, but if we simply take up this chanting, then immediately, because the sound, the name, and Krishna are not different, immediately one comes into Krishna's association. And Krishna is the supreme pure. Means He never becomes contaminated by impure people coming to associate with Him. Rather, He is so pure, He purifies them. This is the effect of associating with Krishna. Not that we're so impure, we drag Him down. But He's so pure, not only is He not affected by us, but He lifts us up to His level. So, that association is there. Open door for everyone. Just chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So I thank you very much. Would you have any question? at this time.
You said in this book everything is relative, and in this spirit world everything is absolute. So if you say Coca-Cola in this world, you don't taste the Coca-Cola. But I was thinking, if you say in the spirit world mango juice, so we consider like you taste mango juice. If you say this, or
yes, exactly. Because you see, the spiritual world, Krishna's abode, it's a state, but it is a state most unlike, let's say, the state of Belgium. The state of Belgium exists in the material world. So Goloka Vrindavan is a state, but it is a state of consciousness. You see? It's not like we talk, where is the state of Belgium? And you take out a map and you say, it is here relative to, you know, Germany is on this side, Holland's up to the north, France is to the south, if you like this. Mm-hmm. And there's the North Sea on one side here. And this way, we get a relative understanding of where Belgium is. But Goloka Vrindavan is absolute. That means you want to go there, you don't need a map. You don't need an air ticket. You don't need to move your body from one place to another place. You don't need to get a visa. None of these arrangements are needed. What you need to do is change your consciousness. That's all. And the means for changing consciousness, I've just explained. Chant Hare Krishna. So when the consciousness is transformed from material to spiritual, then the consciousness enters into that absolute realm of Krishna's lila. And that means, yes, you see, everything is going on there, as you can, we get some indication in the ISKCON artwork, Krishna meeting with the gopis, Ras Lila dance, all these things are there. We see the forms of Goloka Vrindavan, the trees, the river Jamuna, the full moon above. You see, it is a village, there are cows. There are the Vrajavasis who live there. All that is there. But it is all in the realm of absolute consciousness. So the way things are going on, those forms are there, but the way the affairs of the spiritual world are conducted are, you see, unimaginably different from here. It's like one Greek philosopher, ancient times, he said about human beings, he said a human being is actually a pure soul dragging around a dead body. This is his definition of human being. A pure soul who has to drag around a dead body. So this is how we do things, like in the state of Belgium or any material state. We're dragging around a dead body, like you said, to drink Coca-Cola, you know, or whatever we're doing. We have to drag this. But in this spiritual world, there are no bodies, like here anyway. There are forms, but they're all spiritual. And their affairs are conducted out of pure consciousness. So, we can get some grasp now of what it means, a little bit. But you can imagine it is a state so different from here.
Radha and Krishna are together, and then Krishna asks, can you bring me some blood of mango juice? And while saying it, it's not necessary anymore because he's already tasting the mango juice.
Yes, that is true. That is true. But still, the way the affairs are conducted is to allow for loving exchange, for service. So activities are done. But to get an idea, I think I can give this example. You see, it is a state of consciousness. So, let's say there's a boy and girl here in the city of Antwerp who are very much in love. And the boy wants to do things for the girl, and the girl wants to do things for the boy. And they like to think about what they can do. The boy is thinking, I will get her a nice bunch of roses. You see? And I'll hand them to her and she'll be so happy. You see, then when he goes to enact this, well, then there's some, you know, some trouble. He has to first get the money, he has to go to the flower shop, and this and that, and he gets the roses, and maybe he holds them too hard, there's thorns, and they go into his finger, and, you know, then he sees the girl, she's coming, and he rushes up to give her the flowers, but then he trips and falls, and the flowers go all over. But the intention, think about the intention, when he had the idea, you see, how perfect that was in his mind, you know? It was the thought of doing loving service. And it manifested in his mind in all perfection. And that's what he wanted. You see? So if you can, that's how we have to think about the spiritual world. It's the pure intention of loving exchange manifested in the realm of pure consciousness. You see? So, yes, activities are done, but for the purpose of loving exchange only. You see? Yeah, and there's no, even there are obstructions to make the loving exchange sweeter. Like Srimati Radharani, she has her mother-in-law and sister-in-law. What are the names? Jatila and Kutila. Yeah, Jatila, Kutila. So they put up obstacles between the meeting of Radha and Krishna. But that is also part of the whole thing. Just to make that eventual meeting so much sweeter. There's danger in the air. They have to be secret about their meeting. It just makes it more flavorful. You see? Just like some sweets, some kinds of sweet preparations, also some black pepper will be added. You see? Or famously, on Radhastami, which is 2 weeks after Janmastami, and then what is offered is the Radha red chutney. Prabhupada said about that chutney, it's a plum chutney. So it's red, and Prabhupada said about it, it should be so hot, or so sweet that you can't stop eating it, and so hot that you can't eat it. You see, together. So it's the one is contributing to the other. The experience of one is contributing to the other. So it's very interesting, you see. It becomes much more intense. That's the point. So the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna are like that. There are obstacles, but the whole object is to, like, putting some sweet preparations, pepper or so much chili into Radha red chutney. It just makes it all that more powerful. Yes. It is for rasa, you see. Rasa means taste. But here in the material world, actually, there is no rasa. There's only the promise of rasa. But it's never fulfilled. People are getting a little scent that there might be rasa. You see? There's a boy and girl, they meet, fall in love. It's because there's the promise. I may have rasa with this person, but they won't have rasa. What they will have? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. That's what they will get. Birth, death, disease, old age. That's all they will really get. But there's some promise that there might be some pleasure. But in the spiritual world, that promise is realized. And you can realize it, as I said, because it is a state of consciousness. You begin that realization here and now by chanting Hare Krishna. Yes? Same, identical.
So, but this we can understand only after we start chanting.
Yes.
But initially when we talk to people, how should we convey them this particular message? Because till they chant, they will not get this feeling that this is something different. And because it will become an axiom that you have to believe this first and practice some of our regulations and then you can understand. Is this the way?
No, first, just by the initial first contact with the Holy Name. If there is some interest, if there is some desire on their part, That's Shraddha, yes. There must be faith, at least in the to the degree that they want to test. But that is honest, you see. Even in science, there is faith. There's nothing in this world, no human activity in which there is not the element of faith. You see? Even in science, you must have faith in the scientific process. You must have faith that you can discover knowledge by some, you know, appropriate experimental process. You must have faith there. You see? So there must be that initial faith that I'll try this chanting of Hare Krishna. That much Shraddha is there. And we cannot take seriously a person who is close-minded from the very start, who says, I'll not chant that. That Hare Krishna mantra is useless, and I'll not chant it. I'll never chant it. So how can he say that it's useless? He refuses to even try. So this is just prejudice. And a person who's prejudiced doesn't get any credit for being a man of knowledge, a man who wants to know the truth. He's close-minded, you see. So one must have an open mind. That's all we ask. Just try this. And if they try, they will immediately see the difference. The difference is there. Not necessarily, although this could also happen, but it's not necessarily that he'll chant Hare Krishna and then suddenly be in the middle of Rasalila. We don't say that will happen, that he'll see Radha and Krishna underneath the tree. Just because of chanting Hare Krishna one time. But we do say, if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you will immediately notice that this vibration has a different quality from all other vibrations. And as you chant, you will begin to experience a pleasure which is not material, which is not a pleasure coming from your senses, you see. Yeah? It is a pleasure coming from within the core of your consciousness itself. And you will notice that this pleasure is purifying. Other pleasures, material pleasures, they agitate our lusty desires. You know, they agitate our the lowest qualities of our. As soon as in this material world, as soon as someone gets some enjoyment, you see what happens to them. You know, then they suddenly start to think that they're God. You know, oh, I'm enjoying. It brings out the worst in people. You see, they become self-satisfied. They become arrogant, they become attached, you see. They become nasty to other people. I'm enjoying, see, I have this nice car. As we were driving here, we passed some line of, there's some old-timer festival somewhere. So these big, huge cars, Cadillac Eldorado 1958, you know, as long as a battleship, with big wing, you know, these big fins on the back. Huge car, and there's this man sitting driving it. Whole line, you know, we were driving a whole line of cars like that. So as soon as a living entity in this material world comes to a position of so-called happiness, you see, they actually become abominable, you see. But we will see this spiritual happiness of chanting Hare Krishna is purifying. You see, as one chants, it's bringing out all excellent qualities. Mahagun, bringing out humility, and devotion, loving attitude towards all of the living entities, merciful to them, doesn't want to do harm to others, only wants the good for everyone. All these, which are considered very nice moral qualities, they manifest. So these things anyone can experience. You see, now it is said, you see, in the Upadeshamrita, that our condition is like that of a jaundiced person who is given a sweet to eat. You see, I once had this jaundice years ago. I picked it up in India, but I didn't know that I had it. It takes 1-2 weeks for it to come out. So I picked it up in India, and then I came back to the West. That time I went to Switzerland, to Geneva, to the temple that was there. And then I was in the temple, Geneva temple, for 1-2 days, and suddenly got struck by this, heavy fevers followed by intense chills. You see, just switching back and forth, fever, chill, fever, chill. And I turned yellow. My eyes were yellow. Everything yellow. And I took the traditional cure, which is you don't eat anything except sweets, like rasgulla, like that gulab jamun. So when you have this jaundice, this liver disease, if you eat sweet, it tastes bitter. It's not like, oh, I can only eat sweets, very nice. Because it tastes bitter. Because the liver has, polluted everything. So the tongue can't taste the sugar as it normally does. Tastes the opposite. What's sweet is bitter. But that's the cure. You eat that, and the sugar goes into the liver and heals it. So gradually, eating, you notice the change back. You see, first it's bitter for some days, and then you start to pick up a little bit of sweet taste. You know, I'm getting better. You know that. And then when it's completely sweet, no more yellow, you're cured. See? So I took that cure. So in the Sri Upadesha Amrita, Sri Rupa Goswami gives this nice example. Because we've fallen into this material world so long, we have been in this samsara, so we are diseased. And when we take the holy name, in the beginning, it may seem bitter. You see? We may not have so much taste for it. You see? Devotees tell us, chant 16 rounds. Oh, you see? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How can I do 16 rounds? But all right, but still, one should chant. Still one should, because the more you chant, then the more that sweet taste will come. But even apart from that, that is a fact. That is a fact that because of this disease, we don't get the experience of the holy name as it is in full potency. That this is Krishna himself. This is the stage of bhava. That's very, very advanced. So we don't jump to the bhava stage immediately. We have to work on the sadhana stage and chant under regulation. But even although that's a fact, still everyone can experience, as I said, that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not like Coca-Cola. You see? And there is something very special, very transcendental to this vibration. Anyone can experience that. And so then we should work on that. You see, what Krishna does give us at this stage, what he does reveal to us through the holy name, we should take seriously to heart and work on it. Cultivate it. This Krishna consciousness is a process of cultivation. When the spiritual master gives the holy name, it's like planting a seed in the heart. So the seed is there. Seed means the whole tree is there. You see? Like a mango tree is there in the seed of the mango. It's there. You can't deny it. But it's just not manifest yet. But you can see that the tree is in the mango if you put it in the ground. If you water it, you take care and make sure no weeds come. And gradually that tree will grow up. And mangoes will come out. And then you can enjoy. You can pluck those mangoes and eat them. Very nice taste. But there is a process of cultivation that we must do. So that is only natural. I mean, no one can argue against this because everything people do in life is some type of cultivation. It's just a question of what they're cultivating. In Kali Yuga, most people are cultivating going to hell. That's also a cultivation. You see? They take some seed of lusty, hellish desires. They implant it in their heart. They water it. You see? And it's growing, growing, growing through this life. And then you die, and then you're in hell. You see? And the Yamadutas are poking you with their weapons and torturing you. You can see, that's the fruit. See, now you can taste the fruit. But please do not go for that fruit. But you see, everything in life is a cultivation. You want to get university degree. You have to cultivate that. You have to go to school. You have to work. Anything you want to do, a relationship with another person, you have to work. Nothing in this world happens just automatically. you know, not that at age 16 someone thinks, oh, now my whole life is in front of me. All right, I want to be millionaire. I want to be rock star. I want to be famous. I want to have a big, big house. I want to have four cars, four Rolls Royce, Bentleys, Mercedes Benz. I want to have a beautiful wife. I want all these nice things, swimming pool, private airplane, all these things. And to get them, I'll fall asleep. I'll just go to sleep, take some sleeping pills, go for a long, long sleep. And when I wake up, it will all be there. Nobody can live their life like that. So why we should apply something like that to Krishna consciousness? Why someone should ask, oh, why do you have to do so many things to become Krishna conscious? Why doesn't it just happen like that? Well, tell me, what happens like that? You see, your material goals you have to work for. That only means you're serious. You see, you're serious for those material goals. So if you say, no, but Krishna, that we should get automatically with no effort. What does that mean? That means you're not serious. That's all it means. Because for that we're not, for things that we're not serious about, we won't work for, isn't it? So if someone says, I won't work for Krishna consciousness. It should just happen. And if it doesn't happen, then I don't believe it. All that means is this person is not serious about Krishna consciousness. He's not serious to become Krishna conscious. He doesn't really want it. He doesn't care. But things we do want, oh, I'll work very hard. So we need to become serious about the real thing. The real thing is not Coke. The real thing is Krishna. Be serious about that. Hare Krishna.
The name the devotee receives at the moment of initiation in the Guru Maharaj, is that also absolute? Is that also non-different from, you can say, from him?
Yes.
I understand that like absolute means also like eternal, like you said, not bound by time and place.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Because basically all these names are names of Krishna with das after. You see? So even you get a name, let's say, sometimes devotees, they get a little worried because their spiritual master, I remember from Srila Prabhupada's time, giving names. He was sometimes giving names of demigods to his disciples. In fact, when I took initiation, there was a Mataji who took initiation with me, and Prabhupada gave her the name Mahamaya Devi Dasi. So there was, you know, some worry. She was a little worried. Why Prabhupada gave me that? But actually all these, you see, demigods or Mahamaya, these are all vibhuti. They're all opulences of Krishna himself. They're all aspects of Krishna. You see? So the name means Krishna ultimately. Like Indra. Indra means king. No, the real king is Krishna. His name is Mahindra, the greatest king. You see? So Indra or Maya. Krishna is in the Upanishads. God is given the name Mayim. Means the master of Maya. So it's his Maya. It's him. Even Maya. Just another aspect of Krishna. Or Radharani. Prabhupada said when he saw the devotees murmuring among themselves about this girl, Mahamaya, he looked at them and said, another face of Radharani. That's what he said. Mahamaya, another face of Radharani only. So these are names of Radha and Krishna. You see? And then Das or Dasi. You see? So we are the servant. So therefore the name, yes, is absolute and eternal. Because it's indicating only that we as spirit soul are servant of Krishna. You see? Now, we don't need to take that so far, that speculating that this name I have received is my eternal spiritual identity, my rasa is... No, because these names given by spiritual master, it's not Siddha Pranali initiation. It's this process, Siddha Pranali, where the guru gives you the mantra of your rasa in the spiritual world and your name, and you know, tells you you are peacock. You see? And so you have that name, Peacock Das. No, this is not Siddha Pranali. These names are just general names that you are servant of Krishna. So they're absolute. Yes, we are servant of Krishna. So the name is absolute. The name will be there in the spiritual world too. But just like in the spiritual world, everything is unlimitedly manifest, ever increasing. So that name will be there, but there will be so many other names too. Just like Krishna has unlimited names, so his devotees also have unlimited names. So some other name will be the main name that we don't know yet, that will be revealed. But this name is also good. And it will be there. Along with many other names. Anything else? So I thank you very much for your kind attention. And the program will continue. I have to go back to Amsterdam, 2-hour drive, sorry. But your program will continue, and there will be, at the end, a very tasty, transcendental feast of pure Krishna prasadam. Hare Krishna!